coming soon to own on video and DVD.
Hey, movie fans, don't adjust your earphones or speakers. This is actually a new episode. It's been a while, hasn't it? Bit too long for anyone's liking, but I'm just glad you're still listening after such a long hiatus. The summer months are just a little too busy for me, so this might be a reoccurring thing every year where I just disappear for a summer and only do guest segments, you know? So just like any new creator, some things will be tested and changed through the course of its creative life. Disflix will not be the exception. If you haven't noticed, my logo has changed to the purple logo you see today, so a little tweak here and there maybe. I had someone say, my husband, say that he did not like my logo, so I may have to change it again because he thinks it's too creepy. I don't know. What do you think? What do you think of my new logo? I draw my own logos, so if it's anyone to blame, it's me for being it, for making it look so creepy. I don't know. So, the Disflix and Tidbit show is coming back, as you notice from me publishing this episode for your listening pleasure. Every other Wednesday, like I had stated back in the spring, while the ones I watched a Disney and Let's Go Watch a Star Wars episodes will be released, if available, on the opposite Wednesday. Now, I will try to keep to that schedule. I write it down for myself. I keep up to the scripts and try to get guests on during times that we're both free. I have a weird schedule, so it's kind of hard for me to get guests to record with me at the same time. I'm in mountain time. And everybody that I've guested with or had a guest on, they're from the East Coast. So it's a bit of a change for me. It's much earlier than, it's 2 hours earlier if you don't know time zones. So it's a little bit harder, especially when I have a kid that is on a strict bedtime schedule, because you do not want a kid screaming in the background, believe me. And you don't want me screaming into your ears either. So yeah, I missed talking to all of you. Hope that you will continue to listen on future episodes on Disney movies and extra tidbits. If you want more quips, knowledge, and trivia on Disney movies, you can follow me on Twitter at DisflixTidbit. There's no S on the end of that if you're trying to find me. I have an Instagram, but it isn't active, really. I just kind of post when I feel like it, because if I post about movies on there, it's kind of copyright infringement if I post something on there that isn't mine. So, yeah. So, if you'd like to head on over there, it's Disflix Tidbits with the S. But I just use it for my own personal Disney kind of thing. So, now for today's episode, I am trying something a little bit different, mostly because I kind of lost my layout of the show from a very stressful time and event where I lost a lot of my audio files. Yeah, namely audio that I used for the show. So I could download my old episodes and extract it from that, but then the audio quality will not sound that great, and I guess it's time for a change rather than me trying to figure out all that again, you know? So it's time for a change, right? So, oopsies. Feel like I am starting from scratch, but I still have my intro, which I'm thinking about changing too. So should I just change my name now? Just change everything and start from scratch. What this change means, I am kind of winging it for today and entirely skipping over any type of box office or movie news that I have done in the past, because I've been told that other people get their movie news from other places, so it just sounds like me repeating news they already know and they kind of want to skip ahead. So why not just give the people what they want and skip ahead and not talk about movie news? Yeah? Totally going to act like D23 never happened, which you already got all the news and tidbits from that event itself from other people, I assume, because it was flooding my feed, so I'm sure it was flooding all of your feeds. And if you don't know what D23 is, it is a Disney convention that takes place every 2 years. Yeah, look it up. If you're a Disney fan, you will love it. Instead of repeating anything that you already heard, let's just get right into the show. No music, no whatsoever. Ta-da! Here it is! Ba-da-ba-ba-da-da! Wah! Assuming you, the listener, are an adult, or a child trapped in an adult's body, or a young adult, you probably have heard or have been told that Disney is for kids. Cartoons for toddlers are just plain baby stuff. To those people, I say, they are the real party poopers and will never get invited to any of my movie parties. It's one thing if you don't care for the films, but to judge others on what they watch, it's a no from me. Anyway, off my soapbox, not only are those judgy judge people wrong, they probably really haven't seen a Disney movie before. Yes, being an animation catches the attention of a younger audience, but the themes, tones, and lessons embedded in every single film are meant for everyone. The classics in the new Disney films have at least one element that anyone from any age can relate to while telling a beautifully animated story, bringing characters to life through painstakingly hard work of blood, sweat, and tears. From a whole team from these studios to entertain us once or twice a year. Besides all this wonderful piece of art and storytelling that brings families, friends, and loved ones together, there are some things that are inherently just for adults. Yes, I'm talking about those dirty jokes that Disney hid in these films to give a nod and a wink to the adults or parents watching along and laughing to cause the young kids around them to curiously ask what they were laughing at, and you promptly say nothing, or the typical, I'll tell you when you're older. This is Disney's Dirty Little Secrets. Since I'm talking about a topic that has innuendos about mostly sex and crude humor, this episode may be too mature for young listeners. This podcast is normally a G-rated family podcast, but the themes and scenes I will be discussing today may be too much for young ears, and a parental advisory is a must. Or have your parent or guardian listen to this before you listen to this, because it's gonna get weird and dirty and gross and inappropriate. Just skip this one, why don't you? Please. Yes, Disflix binge watchers, even Disney films are not immune to some cheap innuendo jokes, as innocent and wholesome as they may seem. Most of these dirty jokes essentially were hidden in our favorite films. Well, not so much as hidden, but they went way over our heads as kids. And looking back at these jokes or clever wording as an adult, when our minds have been so corrupt, it makes you want to rewind and ask the question, did Disney just do that? This isn't a very uncommon thing. These hidden adult themes were hidden as far back as the early classics. Maybe not as crude as Wreck-It Ralph's cherry-chasing dot muncher Pac-Man comment, but they were there. I have a feeling many of the listeners will be thinking straight to the Renaissance era and thinking about the Little Mermaid VHS cover, Aladdin speaking unspeakable things under his breath, or the sex dust appearing in The Lion King. Wow, I just went straight for it, didn't I? Well, buckle up. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, you are probably too young to listen to this, so please stop and skip this one. Please. Or if you aren't too young for this, bravo for you keeping the magic alive. Now I'm gonna crush your pure little heart. I'm sorry. Get in, loser, it's time to corrupt your mind. The three dirty jokes that I mentioned before, one was definitely true, and you can still profit from that one. Another was a conspiracy before the internet was a big thing, but it was deemed false when you looked into it. And the last one was just unintentional. To elaborate, the Little Mermaid scandal was part of the VHS cover artwork, and I'm assuming that I have to explain what a VHS is. So back in my time in the 90s, let's rewind a bit. back in my time in the 90s, we had these things called VHSs before CDs and Blu-rays were a thing. And they were rectangular box that you fit into a VCR. And yeah, they were clunky and they took up space. Not everything was digital, kids. Anyway, back to this. So this VHS cover, well, I'm just gonna say it. It had a penis drawn on it. It was hidden in the spires of the Atlantica castle. Is Atlantica? There are stories about the artist being fired or about to be let go after he was finished with this artwork, and he drew it to just stick it to the man at Disney. Whatever the story, it's real and it's there, and if you happen to have this VHS copy, you can sell it for a really good price on eBay. It's very rare. Yeah, you can profit off of a mistake. The Aladdin story is, it takes place on the balcony scene where Aladdin and Jasmine meet right before they go on a magic carpet ride and Aladdin is shooing Raja away. Well, under his breath, he says, all good girls take off your clothes. No, your podcast app did not just close or just cut out. The silence was intentional for you to understand how stupid that actually sounds. Are you kidding me? For some reason, a group of people were hung up on the subliminal message craze back in the 90s and decided to make up words to put Aladdin in a bad light. I know I sound like a Disney apologist or something, but it's not true. It isn't. If you had the old VHS tape, because I'm assuming the Blu-ray and CD digital have been digitally altered in a way so it doesn't sound like that anymore, but it isn't anything at all. It was just a rumor that came out and was spread like wildfire. Kids, young kids, hopefully not too young, but the young adults, we didn't have internet as prevalent as you guys do now. We didn't have phones in our hands all the time. We didn't go to the internet to see if a rumor was true or not. It was just word of mouth, and it would just spread, and you'd be like, did you hear this? And then you would go get your VHS tape, pop it in, fast forward to the part, rewind, fast forward, rewind, and I did it myself, and it's not true. It isn't at all. It just made you look stupid trying to turn that video all the way up to max volume, blaring your ears out just to listen to something that wasn't there. He does say something. He says, "Scat Tiger, take off and go." So this rumor was debunked if you had the VHS tape. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere of people still trying to say there were subliminal messages in that thing. There is a subliminal message, sort of, if you talk to Sean from Negro Orlando, that A Whole New World is just a big old innuendo for sex. So there's that. There's your subliminal messaging right there. And the last one, in The Lion King, when Simba finally talks to his dead father in the sky when he's older, being dramatic as his adopted parents were, he faints into some grass and particles and dust from the plants blow in the air. And if you pause it at just the right time, these particles spell out sex. Yet another, I have too much time on my hands and a product of the subliminal message scare came about again. It has kind of the same effect as seeing a cloud shaped like the head of Mickey Mouse. Your brain is just trying to make sense of the shape you see. It was very unintentional. Now, I don't know if it's still there from the remastered Blu-ray and CD or DVD movies. I keep saying CD. I'm sorry. I'm used to that. I know everything's digital now, and it's DVD rather than CD, but I'm a product from the 90s. I'm sorry. And just like that, the Aladdin and the Lion King dirty jokes, there are a couple unintentional dirty things that kind of make their presence known because one of us binge watchers just watch some of our favorite movies one too many times and find the mistakes and errors. And I will circle back on these unintentional ones later, but let's have a little inappropriate giggle at the dirty little secrets that were intentional that made you do a double take when you got older. I will start with a couple that maybe you still haven't noticed to this day. first on the list for this very inappropriate Disney topic that even I missed until some article pointed it out to me. It takes place in the wonderfully underrated film from 2000, The Emperor's New Groove. Go on and take a guess and say it out loud, since I know you wouldn't dare to listen to this episode with someone else. Go on. Don't worry, no one is gonna judge you. That much. The scene I'm talking about involves Krunk, Yzma's right-hand stooge, when they were both on the road to go find Llama Cusco and they stopped to take a rest and pitch a tent. Let me elaborate a little bit more, but not too much. We see their campsite. Yzma obviously has this big lavish tent filled with everything she could possibly take and Krunk could carry. But on the ground right next to her tent is poor Krunk laying on his back with a tiny little tent, only covering his nether regions. Yep, Krunk is pitching a tent. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. This one is actually done quite cleverly. Not only does the joke appeal to those with such a dirty mind, but how it's actually done, it appeals to the other clean-minded people, or most importantly, children, as they will only see it as Yzma being so cruel to Krunk he only gets this small little piece of shelter. I certainly didn't notice it all the times I watched it since it came out on DVD, but did you? Did you notice it at all? Another dirty little secret that may have passed by you because you didn't give it a second thought comes from Aladdin, one of my favorite movies. The Aladdin movie, man, it's kind of chock full of sexual innuendos, isn't it? Wait, if that's my favorite Disney movie, what does that say about me? Don't think too hard on that question, please don't. Anyway, in Aladdin, during the One Jump Ahead song, the street rat swings into a window of a home of some very beautifully and scantily clad women. Triplets with an overprotective mother? That's what I thought when I was a little girl. Nope, apparently this is Agrabah's version of a brothel. The mother is the madam. The reason why they were upset to see him, and according to the words they sing... It sounds like he wasn't always poor and possibly frequented the place before he wasn't, quote, hit the bottom. I don't know, that last part is kind of pure speculation, and this whole inappropriateness of the scene of upset brothel workers could just be a lot of people thinking too much into it, but it kind of makes sense. We all know all the women of Agrabah don't really dress like these women do, and the only time you see women like this is in the Friend Like Me song, so it kind of does make sense. Although Jasmine's outfit looks rather similar, the only difference is it's a different color? Moving on. Let's get another Aladdin one out of the way and take a stroll down the sequel lane with Aladdin and the King of Thieves. If you are a person that doesn't watch any of the sequels, well, you probably have the right kind of thinking there, but this third installment of the 1992 classic was actually a good one. Imagine that. At least I thought so, but you may have to go through watching Return of Jafar in the process. That is a whole other bag of what was Disney thinking that I may delve into at a later episode. Aladdin and the King of Thieves is primarily about, spoiler alert, Aladdin and Jasmine's wedding. Genie is still with them, which is explained by Return of Jafar and the animated series, but to shorten it up for you, it's mostly because the genie saw the world and would rather spend time with his friends now. Genie here is reprised by Robin Williams again, so his quips and improv are really self-evident in this film. Especially one line towards the beginning of the film as the wedding is about to start. The palace begins to shake around them because these thieves heard a stampede of elephants towards the palace, so everything starts shaking, and then the camera focuses right on Genie's face and he says,
"I thought the earth wasn't supposed to move until the honeymoon."
Oh my word!
Cheeky Genie. This line went really over my head back in 1996, but maybe you caught its nasty meaning when you first watched it. The last innuendo may not have been as hidden as the previous ones that I've said, but this next one I didn't realize existed until I did research for this topic. So I feel kind of weird saying I did research for this topic, and I have a feeling that you, the listener, are judging me so hard right now, or that I just heard the many clicks of tens of people unsubscribing from me as I speak. Well, since I'm just talking into a void right now, let's just keep staring into the skid, shall we? Yes, Cassie, we shall. So what was I talking about again? You were talking about another sexual innuendo hidden in a movie you just found out about? Oh yes, thank you, Cassie, but it isn't a sexual innuendo this time around. In 1994's Christmas classic, The Santa Claus, starring Tim Allen, was one of my favorites as a kid. To this day, I always manage to watch it around Christmas time. We all have a Christmas or holiday traditional movie we watch at least once, and it may not just be for the Christmas holiday season. You could have one that you may be watching during Halloween or Valentine's Day. The holiday season seems to be a big time for an annual movie watch. Some have A Christmas Story, Elf, A Muppet Christmas Carol, or even Die Hard. The Santa Claus is mine. Now, being that this film was made in the early 90s and starring Tim Allen, you knew before watching it was probably gonna have some adult-based humor. Being so young when it first came out, obviously I didn't notice or get half of the jokes that were in it. The one that I discovered just recently takes place in the earliest part of the movie when, after Scott Calvin kills Santa Claus, oops, spoiler, and through the annoying insistence of his son to continue doing Santa's job, finds Scott on the roof of someone's house in someone else's pants. When he grabs Santa's bag of toys, it lifts him in the air and his son exclaims, "Hey Dad, you're flying!" Scott Calvin, not missing a beat, replies, "It's okay, I'm used to it, I lived through the 60s. Yeah, it's pretty obvious now what he was referring to, but kind of want to choke on your coffee when you realize back in the 70s, Tim Allen was arrested for possession of cocaine. You can't help but to laugh a little bit harder than you should at his self-deprecation. Yes, I didn't realize this until recently. I kind of zone out when I'm watching the film, like having it on in the background during the holidays. I'm kind of weird like that, but I have to watch it. It's kind of like a traditional thing. There are other adult-centered jokes alluding to divorce, 1-800-sex lines, and dirty romance novels, but not as quite as shocking as this one. Let's stay with another live-action film and one of the first remakes of an animated classic, 101 Dalmatians. Before the remade movies were a trend, Disney decided to tip their toes in the water with 1996's 101 Dalmatians, starring Jeff Daniels and Jolie Richardson as Roger and Anita respectively, and a very well-casted Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil. For the time, it was really well made and a cute movie. I'm not sure how well it has aged now, I really need to rewatch this movie, but in my child's mind, it was a great rendition. There is a scene which may make you do a double take now, but when you were little, you didn't really bat an eye at it, because, you know, innocence and all. Unlike the 1961 cartoon, they fleshed out the human characters a little bit more. Instead of a jingle writer, Roger is a video game designer, in the most simplistic form. And Cruella is a fashion designer with Anita who works directly for her, other than the old classmate acquaintances that the cartoon just kind of glossed over. These little additions makes more sense for why Cruella wants Dalmatian spotted fur coats rather than just because she wants to, and frankly why Anita has to deal with this devil person to begin with. Anyway, in the scene that I'm referring to, Roger first meets Cruella de Vil, which, believe me, Glenn Close nails this character to a T by insulting Roger and Anita in the same breath without letting them say a word. And she notices Pongo and Perdita right away, and a conversation starts up about Anita being pregnant.
She's going to have a baby.
Is this true?
Yes.
Oh, you poor thing. I'm so sorry.
We're very excited about it, Cruella.
You can't be serious.
She is.
Well, what can I say? Accidents will happen.
We're having puppies, too.
Puppies? You have been a busy boy.
You either want to spit out whatever is in your mouth or just chuckle under your breath. Did Cruella de Vil make a bestiality joke? She sure did. Speaking of another holiday traditional movie, Hocus Pocus is another one of my favorites, and one that snuck in some very adult humor type jokes in it. There are a couple here and there, virgin candle jokes are the first that come to mind, but there is one that kind of makes you raise your eyebrows. It's the scene where the Sanderson sisters find out what a bus actually is, and the bus driver happily explains to the Wishes what a bus is.
Bubble, I'm in trouble.
Tell me, friend, what is this contraption?
I call it a bus.
A bus?
A what? And its purpose?
To convey gorgeous creatures such as yourselves to your most forbidden desires.
Well, fancy. We desire children.
Hey, that may take me a couple of tries, but I don't think that'd be a problem. I'll point up.
Marvelous!
Yeah, that kind of went over my head when I was young, and it could also be the timing of the joke, because as soon as the bus driver says this line, there is no pause for effect, and it moves on to the sisters taking in the information as a matter-of-factly. A big contributor to these adult dirty jokes is actually Pixar. There are quite a lot of them hidden or not so hidden in these films. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, I think all of them have at least one nudge-nudge, wink-wink moment towards the older fans of the films. I'm not going to talk about all of them, obviously. We will be here forever, and no one wants to hear my voice for that long. The thing about Pixar is that they are more mature than the Disney animated classics. They have a different form of entertainment in them, and I'm not just talking about the computer animated aspect of their films. It's the storytelling and the lessons that they're trying to teach us. From A Bug's Life lesson of no matter how small you are, you can still achieve big things, to Finding Nemo's when life throws you a curveball, just keep swimming, and to Up's Life is an Adventure, Live It. They all resonate with everyone from a toddler to a great-great-grandmother, so with these life lessons, the writing is scaled and catered to everyone. From the simplistic fart joke to the, well, very adult-themed jokes and everything in between. Not to say that core Disney animated films don't cater to everyone either, it's just their themes are a little bit more simplistic and fairytale driven for a younger audience. The most recent animated films are touching on more complex things, so they aren't that far behind. Let's get right into the biggest franchise of Pixar, and that is Toy Story. With 4 installments, there are some hidden gems tucked away into these family-friendly films. There are a couple sight gags here and there. In the first Toy Story, there are actually quite a bit of adult humor jokes. Mr. Potato Head taking his lips and hitting his behind. Bo Peep insinuating Woody to come over after everyone is asleep, and Woody giving that really creepy blush-filled smirk to make us all question if toys actually have sex. But there is a sight gag that may or may not have been intentional. As you know, the villain of the first film is Sid, a horrible little boy who destroys toys or takes toys and plays Dr. Frankenstein with them. So when Woody and Buzz are stuck in Sid's room, they come across these monstrosity of toys, and one of them looks like a fishing pole with glued on Barbie legs. Many people have suggested this toy is called a hooker, because of the legs and the fishing pole actually having a hook. Very clever, actually. This could very well be in the unintentional discussion that I will be discussing later, but I had to talk about it now because it is actually pretty clever, and I think a lot of people are thinking that it's actually canon. So in Toy Story 2, another sight gag is when Buzz meets Jessie for the first time after she does a daredevil maneuver with the help of a Hot Wheels track, much like Buzz did in the first movie. Buzz's wings deploy out of amazement and obviously depict he is very physically attracted to her, because, well, there's no other way you can determine that on a toy like him. Because, yeah. We need that in a kids' film. In Toy Story 3, there are two that stand out. The biggest, most memorable one is when Barbie meets Ken and says, "Nice ascot." Wordplay! And then there is the Mr. Potato Head line when Lotso the Bear takes Mrs. Potato Head's lips from her head and...
"No one takes my wife's mouth, except me."
Yeah, you can probably overthink that a little too much. So, another franchise that is very guilty of adding the adult humor is Cars. Cars is no stranger to innuendos at all. There are quite a bit of fart and poop jokes sprinkled across all three movies, mostly trying to get the kids to laugh a little bit more with this love it or hate it franchise. The first Cars, however, does get away with some sight gags that the little ones will definitely miss, but the adults will point out and ask, "Hey, wait a minute, rewind that." So, for example, in the first Cars, we first meet Lightning McQueen. He is surrounded by press cars and fans. Two red cars, affectionately known as the twins throughout the film, flash their lights with McQueen smirking. Yeah. There is another instance when Big Mac is driving down the highway, and on the side of the road is a sign that says, "Top Down Truck Stop, All Convertible Waitresses." Yep, folks, we got a strip club in the Cars universe. And finally, a play on words from everyone's favorite tow truck. When McQueen talks about Doc Hudson's past and he says he won 3 Piston Cups.
"He did what in his cup?"
But yeah, Mater was definitely there for a comedic effect. I mean, it worked. He got his own sequel. But yeah, not the most dirty joke out there of them all, but the wordplay makes it into the list because it will most likely make you laugh and make kids laugh because Mater had said it. Now, Cars 2, don't expect you to watch this, and I'm not going to encourage you to watch this one either. Please skip this movie. I just happen to know this movie by heart because unfortunately my son really loves Cars. And this was the only one on Netflix at the time of his big obsession, and we didn't have the other two movies. Shame on us. We kind of paid for that one. What you need to know about this film, it revolves about lemon cars. Cars that have a major defect in them. Well, that's the simplest form of what a lemon car is, but lemon cars are the bad guys in this film, and Mater is a spy in this one. Yeah. Whatever. Mater disguises himself to get into the secret meeting of lemon cars, a meeting where they are all wearing party hats, and lemons are used as decorations. And they also refer to this as a party. Yep, it's a lemon party. And they are all male cars. Score 1 for Pixar on their orgy jokes. Good job. In a sequel that only kids would watch. And the one in Incredibles, the first one towards the end, when the whole family gets caught by Syndrome.
"Elastigirl? You married Elastigirl? And got busy!"
You just get straight to the point, don't you, Syndrome? In Ratatouille, there's a couple that made me kind of chuckle once I caught them. The first one is when Linguini is talking to Remy the rat in the walk-in. The food storage. They almost get caught by Chef Skinner, who starts immediately yelling at him.
"What are you doing in here?"
"I'm just familiarizing myself with, you know, the vegetables and such."
"Get out!
One can get too familiar with vegetables, you know!"
Okay, Chef Skinner, we know what you do when everyone leaves the kitchen for the night. The next one is kind of a blink and you'll miss it moment when Linguini is trying to confess to Colette about Remy and that he really doesn't have any talent. He is trying to say little chef, but only says tiny and little.
"I have this tiny, little...
And you see Colette's eyes look down for a split second, alluding to the fact that she thinks he is referring to something else down below. Nudge, nudge. Wink, wink. So there is a handful of innuendos and suggestive images in the rest of Pixar movies that you can make it a game of sorts when you find one. Don't do a drinking game. You will get blackout drunk. I've been talking about the most recent films, so I will make a mention to a couple from the classic Disney animated films. Yes, they are in there, but they're kind of a little bit more tame and more subtle than the rest of the dirty jokes that we are accustomed to. For instance, in Pinocchio, the Pleasure Island scenes are kind of jarring when you watch it now. These young kids are lured to the island to smoke and do whatever they like, and in turn, they turn into donkeys, basically saying children are jackasses. Literally. Not the most hidden, it is a very blunt form of adult humor that there probably ever will be in a Disney movie. Trust me, a younger audience wouldn't have picked up on that. There is a kind of a dirty joke in Bambi. It isn't quite hidden either and not as shocking, but the whole concept of being Twitterpated, another name for the animal's sexual awakening, or let's face it, going into heat. The innocence will tell you this made-up word means love. The corrupted part of you will know the truth. Flower even goes stiff and red when he's kissed by the female skunk. You tell me what it really is. And finally, not a classic, but the 1977's The Rescuers had a bit of a controversy around it during the 90s, causing Disney to recall the actual VHSs. So when Bernard and Bianca are riding on top of a taxi through the city, like in a sardine can, your eyes will most likely be betrayed on Bernard basically having a heart attack from doing something out of his comfort zone, but in the background, in a blink and you'll miss it moment of two frames of the film, is a poster of a real life, not cartoon, topless woman. The weird part is, no one noticed this until the re-release in 1999. Yeah. I'm not gonna say if you have this film to go watch it, but hey, could be worth some money. So before I leave you to yourself in the most awkward silence that you will experience today, questioning to yourself what you just listened to, I wanted to at least mention the unintentional innuendos or dirtiness that you may have found or heard of in a Disney movie. There isn't many, most of the time they're really intentional, but just like the Lion King sex dust, there can be mistakes here and there. The most popular one on top of the list is probably going to be the naughty priest from The Little Mermaid. The naughty priest is from the Vanessa Eric wedding towards the end of the movie. When Vanessa approaches Eric and the priest, we get a side view of the priest who starts reading his scriptures. But if you look down, it looks like something has popped up to say hello. It was a big controversial thing for a very long time, probably being worked up by the X-rated VHS artwork that I mentioned. But since then, an animator has recently come forward that what you're seeing is not the priest getting a little too happy about the sea witch turned human, but is actually his knee. I know, it kind of sounds far-fetched and just Disney trying to cover it up. And a knee popping just doesn't sound as entertaining after decades of thinking of something else, but an animator came forward and told you the truth. What can I say? It wasn't intentional. But it's a good story to discuss with your friends when you have The Little Mermaid at home. Another one is The Lion King got in trouble again from poster artwork. This is more of a visual type innuendo, so I will try my best to explain what is happening. And I also link a picture down in the show notes if you don't understand what I'm trying to say. God, this feels weird trying to explain to you people about dirty Disney jokes. There is this sunrise poster with a very vague looking lion in the top center of the poster with Simba on the very bottom in the actual sunrise. The lion's face doesn't actually look like Mufasa, honestly, kind of like a more toony artistic version of the one you see in the film, so that's why I say it's a vague lion face. However, how this lion face was situated made a Reuben vase profile illusion. You know that illusion that is black and white where you either see a vase or two face profiles? Well, that illusion that everyone was seeing besides the lion face was a very simplistic outline of a woman's body in a bikini with her butt out. I don't know how they saw that, but there are pictures on Google where they outline the woman's body and the bikini bottom. I don't know. It looks really unintentional from the looks of the poster, really, and it's just probably someone's mind trying to make sense of the picture or saw something else. It's like the cloud illusion, honestly. There's one in Peter Pan that was very unintentionally sexual. It's another visual one from the beginning of the film. So once Wendy sews Peter's shadow to the bottom of his shoes, Peter Pan gets up and dances in front of the wall to see if the shadow would actually stick. And in a couple frames, his shadow looks like it grew an extra appendage. An unintentional fluke because the animators drew in Peter's knife on the shadow, making him look, well, a little excited. And finally, what I would call a very unintentional incident is in Who Framed Roger Rabbit. This film is full of dirty jokes, sexual innuendos, and crude humor. God, it's a great movie. You should watch it right now. Well, after this podcast episode. Yeah, wait until I'm done speaking if you're still here. Most of these jokes were mostly about this seductress-looking character that was just drawn bad. And there was talk that this little oopsie that I'm going to mention was only available on Laserdisc. It's during a scene where Eddie and Jessica Rabbit crash Benny the cab and they both go flying. When Jessica is flying from the car, her skirt kind of goes up and you can see everything down there for two frames. This was such a big controversy that when it was released on DVD and Blu-ray, they moved her skirt so nothing would be exposed at all. The rumors were actually kind of true. For two frames, her skirt was moved to the side where she was exposed, but unlike the rest of the rumor, the animators actually didn't animate anything down there. There was underwear that was a different shade than her skin, but that was it. There's just this huge rumor that they actually animated every detail down there, but no, it's not true. I embarrassingly looked everything up, and it's not true. But those guys are pervs. So that's it. Those are some of the most notable and least notable dirty adult jokes, gags, and visuals added to the Disney movie collection. Now, of course, I didn't discuss them all. There is a vast list of these innuendos placed in our favorite movies to come out and surprise us when we least expect it. I really do hope you appreciated the embarrassing and awkward place I put myself in to publish this episode just for you. Whether you wanted it or not. I can truly understand if you made it this far, if you don't want to listen to Disflicks and Tidbits again. Who knows what kind of topic I will discuss next time? Will it be bad movies that we wish we could forget, or the horrible and cringeworthy sequels that Disney continues to make? Ugh, I'm the worst, aren't I? Well, I didn't expect you to learn anything new from this. Not sure if I learned anything new from this other than my mind is more corrupt than I thought. I do have to ask the question though, are there any hilarious, dirty jokes that I didn't mention that are your, well, favorite to laugh at, or always make you laugh whenever you hear it? Or better yet, is there an innuendo out there that actually surprised the heck out of you? This has been Cassie, and you were just listening to Disflicks and Tidbits. Stay tuned for more G-rated episodes in the coming future, every other Wednesday. And if you did not like this episode, you can shout that out into the void called Twitter and tag me at DisflicksTidbit. And if you really hated this episode, you can also contact me at disflicksandtidbits@gmail.com. Go ahead and also suggest better topics for me to do or movies you want me to deep dive in. If you did like this episode, what the heck is wrong with you? Don't encourage me to do these things. You should be ashamed. A quick thank you to Zach Hilton from Haunters Podcast for leaving me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. One of the many devils on my shoulder. And great podcasting friend. I really appreciate the kind words and encouragement. It does actually keep me from dropping this podcast altogether. I am slowly going insane. Until next time, we aren't just watching movies, we're also making memories. Very strange and perverted memories. We'll be right back.